1984-1985, all rookie. 1984-1985, rookie of the year. 87-88, defensive player of the year. 10-time scoring champion. 11-time All-NBA. Finals MVP 6 times. Regular MVP 5 times. And a 6-time NBA champion. He was 6'6", 195 in his prime. And if you don't know who I'm talking about his heiress, the GOAT, Michael Jordan. The greatest basketball player of all time. And if you would like to argue that, I will be offering an invitation after this lesson, so come forward after that. But no matter who you think is the best player in basketball, you have to understand that when you hear his name, when you hear his stats, you automatically think of greatness. There's tons of other athletes that I think of when I think of greatness. Michael Phelps, Muhammad Ali, LeBron James, Peyton Manning, the list can go on and on. So I know there's a lot of times that we envy people that we see, that they show greatness. I know I envy Michael Jordan, mostly for his height, but still, he had greatness running through his veins, and that's an amazing thing. Sometimes even here at Freed, I think we may envy people that show greater qualities than what we think we have. You know, maybe you go to a AAA game and you say, man, I wish I could ball out like them. Or you see them walking around campus and you just think, man, they have their life all figured out. Or even you look at them and you see their spiritual life and you say, I wish my life was like that. It's a natural reaction to sometimes that we envy those that we think are better than us. But I'm here to say that there's one thing that we all need to consider. Do you realize who you're made after? Do you realize you are made in the image of God? Once you realize that, that fact begins to change everything about your life. It changes how we walk, how we talk, how we treat others, and how we go throughout our daily lives. When we look at God's greatness, we must remember that we were created in His image to reflect His glory and to show Him praise through what we do. This is a really hard topic for me because when we reflect the greatness of the Lord, that's hard for me to think that we're made in His image. A little window into my life, I struggle with a lot of self-image issues. And when I mean struggle, I mean I've been in counseling for them. There's been many days I would wake up and I'd look in the mirror and I couldn't stand who was looking back at me. And if you haven't gone through that, it's a really hard thing. There's been days that I'll go throughout my day acting like nothing's wrong, and I'll go and I'll eat my lunch or eat my dinner, and I'll go off privately, and I would make myself throw up because, again, I couldn't stand who I was. So when I say this lesson means a lot to me, because talking about the image of God and how we should reflect that, you know, for a while, I didn't see that in myself. It took me hitting rock bottom with my self-confidence and my spiritual life to finally understand that the image of God reflecting in us is the greatest thing we could ever have. So I'd like to say that I'm perfectly better, which I'm not, but I am striving each and every day to better myself. And this lesson, honestly, has helped me to really dig into the scripture to see that it is God and through God only and His greatness that we can become awesome creatures. So with that being said, the topic I was given from Psalms 95, 1 through 7 is the greatness of God and how we should reflect that through our lives and through our worship. And I thank Jacob for reading that for me. And I'd like to read it one more time because if we look at it, it perfectly mirrors how we should act. So if you turn with me to Psalms 95, 1 through 7, we'll read that. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. In His hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are also His. and the sea is as he made it, and his hands, they form the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hands. We see in this scripture that our God is so amazing that we should continually express his greatness, because that's what God is. God is greatness. And when you really sit down and think about it, you really just can't help but praise his name. It talks about we should be singing his praises, and we should continually be singing his praises, whether that be out loud or in our hearts. Our God is all-knowing. He knows our faults, our weaknesses, our sins, our rebellions, and yet he continues to love us. Our God is all-powerful. If you really think about it, he could snuff out our lives in an instant. And yet, he continues to bless us with the gift of life. Our God is all-present. He is everywhere at all times. He is with us as we continually walk through our daily lives. And yet, he blesses us by guiding us through our spiritual journeys and keeping us safe from harm. When we think about the greatness of God compared to our sins, we cannot help but bless his awesome name, because he is the one that can forgive us of those sins. If we look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, we really see that he created us in his image, and that way we need to reflect that image upon everybody else. We need to show that God is in our lives and in our hearts. So, like I said, Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Then God said, "Let us make a man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on this earth." Because God has revealed his greatness to us, because he has made us in his image, we ought to continually praise his name. A king who both personally relates and shares his greatness with his own people deserves the greatest praise from his people. Because not only does he reveal his greatness to us, he shares that with us. He shares that with us in his daily in our daily walks of life. And if that doesn't mean we should praise him, I don't know what is. We should be like the psalmist in Psalm chapter, or Psalm 145, verses 1 through 3. "I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." Every day, this set of verses says every day twice, back to back. You know, a lot of times I feel like we'll forget that. I know I do. I know I forget. I'll go up throughout my daily life, and I'll forget to spread God's greatness, to reflect God's greatness in my life. But sometimes it takes these verses to remind us that God doesn't forget about us. He continually blesses us, and so we ought to continually bless him forever and ever in this life and the next. My second point is, are you looking for opportunities to praise God in your life? Now, we've had a couple of beautiful days these past few days. Have you been sitting outside and maybe see a pretty bird fly by? Do you stop and think about the glory of God and his awesomeness and his greatness? Or when you hold a newborn child for the first time, do you stop and think about the miracle of life and how we should be praising God? As humans, we naturally ascribe to praise those people and things that we find great and amazing. I know when Making Music rolled around and all the hostesses come out and they sang their hearts out, I know we cheered for them, we clapped, and we were very happy because they were doing amazing things and they showed their greatness. Or we were roaring with the crowds when our AAA athletes made the best move to get a game-winning shot. Or when our friends were in a talent show and they were showing off their talents, I know we were standing up and we were cheering for them because they are reflecting their greatness. But I think we miss an opportunity. and in our everyday lives to reflect God's greatness, because we walk around and we cheer for everybody else, and sometimes we forget God is there, and He is greater than anything. And He is the reason that we can do what we do. He's the reason that we see what we see in the birds and the trees and the skies. And I think that's just an amazing thing we need to take into account. So as you study the Word this week, I really want you to really look in the Scriptures. Look at God's greatness reflected through the Scriptures. Maybe underline them, highlight them, circle them, whatever you want to do in your Bibles, just so when you turn there again, you see that God's greatness is reflected. Or maybe write them down in a prayer journal. I want us to spend more time this week especially really looking at our lives and seeing God's greatness exfoliated through us and in our everyday walks. 1 Chronicles 6:10-11 says, "Glory in His holy name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually." And I think that's something we ought to be doing, is to seeking His greatness continually. Become even more aware of the wisdom and power and presence He has shared with you so you can reflect His glory. Use those great qualities of His image in you to bless Him and to bless others. Most of all, reserve your greatest praise and service and awe in the greatness of your God as He daily reveals Himself to you. My third point is there is no end to God's greatness in our lives. To kind of bring this around full circle, I told you about some of the things I struggled with, my self-image issues. But when I became on the road to recovery and I truly wanted to get better, when I finally sat down and looked at my life, I was overwhelmed, honestly, about all the great things that God has blessed me with. One of those being here at Freed Hardeman, and He has blessed me with the opportunity to be here. And if it wasn't for the people here, if it wasn't for Freed Hardeman in and of itself, my professors, my friends, when I was going through the struggles I was going through, I don't know where I'd be in my life right now. I don't know how I would be. I don't know who I would be, honestly, if it was not for the people here. And so I really had to take time and to really thank God that He has shown His greatness in my life. It's an amazing thing that when we sit down and look at God's greatness in our lives, how much He has truly blessed us. And that being said, we should continually be singing His praises. We ought to continually in our hearts walk with Him and to sing His glory and His praises. So as we go through our lives, we also need to strive to see this greatness. We need to sit down and to really look at the blessings God has given us, especially when we're not feeling too good about ourselves. One thing that my mom especially has taught me when I was feeling really down on those bad days when I thought, you know, I don't like who I am. I don't have any real friends. I don't know why I'm here anymore. Something I found out that she taught me was I would take this specific verse, a verse we all know and a verse we all love, and I would apply it to my life. I would take out a very vague word and I'd replace my name with it. Now the verse is John 3:16. We all know it. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I would take that first part, "For God so loved the world," and I'd put my name in there. "For God so loved Lucas that He gave His only begotten Son. For God so loved Joel. For God so loved Jacob." When you take that and you apply that to your life, when you put your name in that specific portion of that verse, it really hits home. It becomes real. You know, sometimes we look at that verse and I feel like we overlook it because we know it. You know, we've had it memorized since we were a kid. But it's such a powerful verse because God did love us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. He loved each and every one of us specifically, because He knows us by name. He knows how many hairs are on our head. And I really, that's one of the greatest blessings I've ever had in my life, is to know that. And as we close, I want us to think back to when we were all little kids, about one of the first prayers we ever learned. You know, the prayer that we bless the food with. "God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food." You know, that one. I won't finish it. But as we got older, we learn different prayers. We learn prayers that we didn't memorize, and maybe we've forgotten about that prayer. I really want us to highlight that tonight. Mostly the first part, God is great, God is good. I think that's a prayer that we should be praying all the time. That's a prayer we should pray every day, maybe even separate from our regular prayer life, because God is great, and God is good, and He reveals that to us in our everyday lives, and we should always reflect that, and we should always worship Him. So tonight, maybe you've forgotten just how great our God is, and you've maybe fallen away, and you'd like to come forward, or you're ready to be baptized and to be in that presence of greatness all the time. I invite you now to come as we stand and as we sing.